I'd like to welcome everybody to this session entitled Creating Synergy, Early Integration of Palliative Care with Complex Surgical Care. And I'm very excited to be the moderator of this session with Susan McCanman, who's sitting down here. And really the goal of this is to talk about and stimulate thinking about how early integration is currently integrated within various different aspects of surgery, acute care surgery, trauma surgery, and surgical oncology, and then complex decision making as a stimulus to figure out where we're going to go from here, because we're only at the beginning of trying to figure this out. I do not have any relevant financial relationships to declare. So I've been thinking about this a long time. When I was a resident, there was something that mysterious that happened, and my chief in the Department of Surgery is here, and she probably may remember that conversation when I was a fellow. I couldn't understand. We did this big pancreatic Whipple on a patient, and we looked after the patient, and then they weren't doing well, and something shifted, and they became palliative. Something fundamental shifted in that relationship with that patient, and it wasn't really talked about. And I've spent my career trying to understand what that means. And at the same time, when I was a resident, my father was dying of a long illness, and he died at home with palliative care. And that's never an easy time, but it was a good death. And so this has really stimulated a lot of the thinking over the course of my career. And just to talk about, but what does that really mean? So we know that palliative care was initially described by Dame Cecily Saunders and really was focusing on care at the end of life. And that wasn't really a new concept, because really before we can do anything in medicine, that was really all we could do was relieve suffering. And we all know, at least the Canadians take credit for Balfour Mount coining the term palliative care, which isn't a perfect term, and we don't have time to discuss all those aspects. But what are we really talking about? Because the current definition takes the definition from palliative care being concentrated at the end of life to really looking at quality of life for patients and families with life-threatening illnesses, talking about pain and symptom management, early application, but what is it really? Oh, sorry, wrong way. What we're probably and hopefully going to hear about the evidence that is emerging, mostly right now in the oncology world, where we know that early referral to palliative care reduces symptoms, improves patients' family satisfaction, physician satisfaction, reducing costs, and improving survival. But again, what is it? And so when I give this talk, I call it care when there is no cure. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about what palliative care can teach us as surgeons. And the three main aims, as I see it, is to relieve physical and emotional suffering, to improve patient-physician communication and patient-centered decision-making, and to coordinate the continuity of care across settings. But isn't this just good medical care? And I've also had the privilege of teaching PGY2s, a palliative care curriculum at the University of Toronto. And it's been an iterative process where every year I give them how comfortable are you with these particular aspects of palliative care? What have you learned? I do it with palliative care physicians. And this has refined my curriculum for the PGY2s based on their feedback annually. And currently, I think palliative care offers four pillars. One, management, aggressive management of pain and other symptoms. Now you think to yourself, okay, so why, right? Over and over again, in every disease type, cancer, performance status is the most important thing, the prognostic indicator. It just stands out, performance status. What is aggressive management of pain and other symptoms? It's maintaining one's person's performance status to the best of their ability aggressively. So it makes sense. I think that explains the improved survival aspect. And not just physical symptoms, but also moral and emotional distress. Understanding the patient's unique goals of care and family meetings. If we're looking after a patient and we know who and what they want, a lot of the decision-making actually is quite straightforward. We can come to shared decision-making. And this is what palliative care is extremely good at and extremely good at teaching us. Difficult conversations, advanced communication skills. We are not taught this as surgeons. Boy, are they good. There are actual skills that you can learn to elicit all these things. And that is, so I give a session on that. And then the last one you'll notice there is physician resilience, personal awareness, and self-care. I did not know this was going to be so important. It is the one session that I don't tell the residents what they're going to come for, okay? They're just coming for palliative care. But this one, emotional intelligence, personal awareness, self-care, that's the one they're following me down the hall telling me their stories. So it has to be part of this because we can't look after other people until we look after ourselves. So with that introduction, I'm very thrilled to introduce this fantastic panel. These are everyone that I wanted to be here. And so we're going to hear from the world of trauma, Herb Phelan, Gretchen Schwartze. You know very well about her. She's the one with the worst case, best case tool. And I'm thrilled that she's on my panel. We've got Anne Mosenthal in the ICU and surgical champion of palliative care, the head of the surgical committee on palliative care at the American College of Surgeons. And then the last, but certainly not least, is Pippa Hawley, an oncologist who's come up with a different model of integrating palliative care, very different from the standard model in cancer care that I was always showing, you know, the one line here, and the line like that, which just doesn't work as the disease progresses. So hopefully this will be a stimulating conversation, and then once we're finished, Dr. McCann will open the panel to questions.